Hey everybody, this is Justin Case. Welcome to another episode of Case in Point. This is episode 33. And tonight I have my good friend Ponch with me. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How you doing today? Hello, everybody.
Pretty good. I'm just fresh out of the movie theater watching Avengers. And Jody's not here tonight. He's got some other stuff he's got going on. So I figured I'd just move ahead because I just got out of the movie and I wanted to kind of do a review on it. And Ponch, I know you've already seen it. So, you know, I want to let everybody know that there's going to be a lot of information shared. And that if you have not seen the movie, there will be spoilers. So I just want to lay that out there first. And I will put it in the description, a warning, when I post this on social media. Next, what I would like to do is just give a shout out to some podcast friends we have and their shows. Element of Surprise is a new show. New show for me, Chad Suett. He's a good guy. He's got a great show there. I listened to episode 29 that he had, and I was very impressed. His presentation is very crisp. He gives you a very honest and, you know, refreshing view on things that I feel vindicated when I listen to his show, because there's so many times that, you know, something happens and you're like, man, I wish I could have done that, you know. And so definitely check out his show. And he's on Facebook. He's got a Facebook page. Check out the Element of Surprise Facebook page. We have the McSauce Boys, Ian, Paul, and Matt. They're big supporters of the show. Check those guys out. They're on Twitter and Facebook. Those guys are like really good friends of ours. And our podcast community is really growing at this point. You know, we've got Ryan McCormick with the Fireside Chat podcast. He's also a very good friend and very big supporter of this show. Definitely check out what he's doing with Tiffany Moore. Just so many diverse topics on these shows that I've mentioned, and definitely check those guys out. Yeah, so I got fresh out of the Avengers screening, and I was actually 5 minutes late for the show because I was gabbing with my brother-in-law, and we went with his cousin, and it was pretty cool. I'm kind of spoiled. We had a movie theater that had reclining leather seats, like trays to swing out in front of you if you really want to pig out on all the concessions they have. And it was really funny because they went in ahead of me and they were rushing to get their seats because they're reserved, but it's dark, all the lights are off, so they went off to go find out where, like, row E, you know, seats 1, 2, and 3. Well, it's funny because I'm like, they ditched me and I'm still turning in my ticket stub. I'm like, where did they go? So I'm like standing on the side aisle of the movie theater and I'm watching the opening scene where Loki's pretty much meeting his demise at Thanos' hands. He snaps his neck, which was, you know, I will tell you, Ponch, right now, I still have not seen Thor Ragnarok. I actually purchased the Blu-ray 2 weeks ago. And so I need to watch that first. And I was really kicking myself when I was watching this because I'm like, here's all this stuff going on that I have no idea. There's a big gap right there. So I got a lot of catch up to do on this. But yeah, so I was a little bit late to it. And it was sensory overload, but in a good way. This movie was a very nice, I guess, medication for me as a movie viewer after seeing episode 8 in theaters of Star Wars. Because I left with a good type of sensory overload where at least I understood what was going on, and it was kind of like building to a point, whereas, you know, episode 8 was not really good in that arena, in my opinion. But anyway, I thought the movie was great. It was great being able to see the Black Panther movie, and then it goes right into Infinity War. And I would definitely recommend, if anyone hasn't seen Black Panther, I'm sure everybody has, and if you haven't, you need to come out of your bunker and join the rest of society. I would definitely watch Thor Ragnarok, and I would watch Black Panther before you see this film. Ponch, what'd you think of the movie? What'd you think of Thanos?
Today was my second time watching it. I watched it last week on Thursday. First time I ever done like a Thursday midnight viewing. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I don't think I'll do it again because but by the time I got home, it was like 3:30.
Yeah, and you got to work the next day.
I woke up at like 6:30, and then the following day to go to work. So I was pretty tuckered out. But I really liked the movie, and in fact, I think I liked it more the second time around than the first.
Was it because you were able to pick up on things you missed before, or was it just?
Yeah, I see. When if I like a movie enough, and I know I'm gonna watch it more than once, the first time is more like initial feelings. I try not to go out of my way to look at specific details unless I notice it as I'm watching it. But in general, I try to just enjoy the ride, and then if I enjoy it enough to watch it a second time, then I'll try to go out of my way of seeing details. But with this, I was trying to do that, but I caught myself more going along for a ride again. It's kind of like, I guess I would equate it to like either a roller coaster ride.
It would be like your favorite ride and you want to go again, yeah.
Yeah, like the first time I was like, oh, this is freaking great! You know, yeah. The initial rush is fantastic, but then as you go like this, even like the second time, you know, okay, this is where the peak is gonna hit, and then you go down, and so you have a better anticipation of what things will happen, but at the same mm-hmm. time, the rush will just catch you know will still take you to the point where like you still enjoy it, even though you know what to expect as you go through it. So it was kind of like that, but yeah, it definitely allowed me, as you said, to catch little bits and, you know, details here and there and stuff. So going back to what you were asking about Thanos, I think he was the star of the movie completely. I remember the first time watching it last week, I was really, really surprised in a good way on how, like, nuanced his performance was, Josh Brolin was.
Right.
Because, you know, the whole thing was, like, CG capture. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting it to be, you know, not, you know, some, okay, serviceable, but it's just the way they captured his emotions, especially up close. Like a perfect example
like
is when
the tears going down his face, something like that.
Yeah, when he was trying to get the Soul Stone, mm-hmm. and he realized he had to kill Gamora in order to do so.
Right,
and just that the pain once he came to that realization, then he turns to see her, and the tears are going and. You know, it just didn't seem it didn't look fabricated, even though it was right. You know, it was CG capture. Like they did a fantastic job capturing emotion and little nuances. You know, as far as like little twitches in his face, it just sold the emotions so well and very, very, very well done.
Yeah, it looked like it looked like the realism of his face and everything looked like really well done makeup. It didn't look mm-hmm. like CG and.
Even today, it wasn't that scene. It might have been a previous scene. I don't remember which one exactly, but there was a scene where the shot had a very close up angle of Thanos' face,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed there you can see like the stubble. You can see like little imperfections in the skin. Like at a certain angle
right.
where the light was hitting. You could even see some of the peach fuzz in his face.
Oh, I know what scene you're talking about because the sun hits it just right. It's when they're on Titan, and
I think so.
The side of his neck and the side of his face. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I totally get what you're. It's like stubble. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something else. I really dug all that stuff. So Thanos he stole the show for me. He was fantastic and. What I also liked about him was he was not a one-note villain.
Like exactly. He wasn't a Steppenwolf.
He has no right to have his name mentioned in the show, man.
Oh yeah, the way, I did watch the Justice League for the first time 2 nights ago. I have the 4K disc that I just took the plunge and bought. And popped it into my Xbox, and I watched that. And the CG is pales in comparison to how good Marvel has it. It looked like cheap 2000s Beowulf CG. It looks like primitive compared to what Marvel's doing. And yeah, I mean, how Marvel did with Thanos' face, like Infinity War, and just all around. It's just you know who's got the purse. You know who's willing to spare no expense to. And also from a talent standpoint, I mean, you got to have the best animators on tap to be able to pull that kind of stuff off, you know. So who's going to pay the most? Well, I'm going to go to this guy. You know, so I think that's got a lot of. I think Marvel probably has the talent pool in the special effects department to make that happen. What'd you think of having the Stormbringer as opposed to a Mjolnir? What'd you think of that?
I was fine with that. I mean, again, if you had seen Thor Ragnarok, that answers the question as to why he doesn't have Mjolnir anymore.
Did Beta Ray Bill have Stormbringer in the comic books?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so they pretty much forewent the Beta Ray Bill character for obvious reasons. You know, I think, honestly, he could have worked in that movie. I know I'm probably be tarred and feathered for saying so, but to have Beta Ray Bill in this movie would be... Hey, if you're going to put Jar Jar Binks in a major motion picture, you could definitely put Beta Ray Bill in this movie.
It's funny because I have a coworker. Ever since I saw... I saw the movie last Thursday, like I mentioned before. He watched it last Friday, and ever since then, most of our conversation has been about Infinity War. Because, well, his comic knowledge comes more from the movies versus, you know, like...
Right, yeah, I remember you saying that,
with
yeah.
The comics and the movies, so he's always asking questions like, well, why is this way? How did the comic do it? Well, why is this that way? You know, like, he's always asking me questions like that, so... I would say, as far as like Beta Ray Bill, I mean, I like him as a character. I think he's great, but we were talking about how, like in the original Infinity Gauntlet miniseries, how, you know, after Thanos completed his mission of killing half the universe, you know, he got so absorbed with power and like trying to impress Death that he at one point took on like those uber powerful celestial beings and stuff. And, you know, I was telling him about describing that to him. He was like, oh, that would sound awesome. And I'd say, well, as awesome as that sounds, you have to consider, like, the people that watched this movie. It's like, today, I watched it for a second time, and I took my mom to watch it. And this was her first time, and she has a very loose understanding of comics, because with me growing up, she just, it just kind of rubs off of her from what I, you know, from me. For her to like watch this movie, it's already an intense and sometimes overwhelming movie. But for like the general public, something like that would be way too much for like general consumption. So as much as I like that character, I don't think it would have been right to put him in this. Yeah, having said that, like I do like who they included. Thanos, of course. The Black Order. I can talk about them a little later, but that was pretty neat. Yeah, I think if they had gone more than that, I think it would have been too much to handle. Like, it would have been like, it would have felt like they would have been trying to force more than like, you know, just for the sake of putting in the movie versus having it seem more of an organic buildup. But
you know what I was thinking that after seeing how Doctor Strange has literally, he's kind of stealing the show with this movie as Iron Man did with the first Avengers movie where he's the focus. Because I mean, look at how much was centered around Stephen Strange and the Eye of Agamotto, and how much he personally was fighting Thanos. I think that this movie, you know, after, you know, there's certain people that have already died. I think a lot of it is kind of like, in real life, some of these actors and actresses are wanting to go off and do other things and not do these things all the time. Because, you know, in a lot of ways it's career suicide. Oh, you're that Avengers lady, you're that Avengers guy. And when Gamora got killed off, I'm like, well, okay, you must do unless they do something with the Reality Stone or the Time Stone or whatever, that's it. The thing is that because Doctor Strange was such in a lot of ways, there's a lot of focus on him. I thought it was really impressive how he was actually going in fighting Thanos without having the Eye of Agamotto, because he hid the gem. Thanos ripped it off his neck. He's like, oh, it's a fake. And he just smashed the metal case of the Eye of Agamotto. And it was interesting to see how much of a focus there was on Doctor Strange. And I would say that there's probably like two more Doctor Strange movies, I guess. I mean, I haven't looked in to see what kind of agreements have been made from a contractual standpoint. But it seems like the focus is going to be more on those guys passing of the torch, you know, because, I mean, I thought Tony Stark was going to bite it in this one when he got stabbed, and it wasn't the case. And if he survives the next movie, I'll be surprised, because he wants to go off and do other stuff. He's been Iron Man for 10 years, and he probably doesn't want to fall in the category of Hugh Jackman, who's been Wolverine for 18 years, or 17 years, or whatever. And it's really cool to see, kind of like, you know, you've got War Machine, who I thought was amazing. Don Cheadle, as always, does a great job as Colonel Rhodes. And to see War Machine out there using more munitions type stuff and going out guns blazing, like everything full tilt, was just amazing when they're in Wakanda and they're fighting back those hellhound things that were let loose. It was just really cool. And I was like, I really enjoy seeing that kind of hardware being used. It brings a little more realism to everything. It's kind of, I mean, Tony Stark had that nanotechnology Iron Man suit, and it was okay. But I feel that the charm of his character was really the limitations of the nuts and bolts aspect of Iron Man's suits, you know, and I really thought that was cool, and it added a little bit more of a realistic edge to Iron Man's character. So that's my take on the Iron Man part. I think also to see how there's battles on multiple fronts, you had the thing going on where you had like Rocket Raccoon and Thor having to restart that sun, that dying star, to, you know, actually forge Stormbringer. I thought that was kind of a neat side, and it kind of gave you relief from the different parts, the factions of the film, if you will. And I thought that was really cool how they did that. And there was a lot of comic relief thrown in there to kind of give a little bit of a resolve to some of the more tense situations. It was really cool. And, you know, they didn't really have a lot of obscene stuff in there. And I've been noticing that. So, like, I mean, I guess if you want to bring your kids to some of these, I wouldn't. It's a PG-13 movie, and I'm kind of, I wouldn't bring my six-year-old to a movie like this, but, you know, because it's got more adult themes. There's a lot of people getting impaled by weapons and stuff. I don't think he's ready for that yet, but it's cool how they did it. I was surprised, too, that there was no Adam Warlock or Magnus characters being introduced here. Maybe there was, and I just didn't catch it, but I stayed till after the credits. I was hoping there would have been maybe an Adam Warlock type appearance, because it seems like they're going in that cosmic direction to finish everything out. What do you think about that? I mean, what direction do you think, after now having seen it, that this franchise is going?
Yeah, as far as like Warlock and Magnus, I have to go back to what I was talking about before. Like, that might be too much for the general audience to consume.
Yeah.
I mean, I think eventually Adam Warlock will be introduced. I don't know if they'll do that in next year's Avengers. My guess is they might introduce him in the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie, because the second one
makes sense. Yeah,
introduced those gold skinned people. So I'm assuming they might. I think in that movie they also showed Adam Warlock's cryogenic cocoon, whatever they called it.
Oh, that's right. It was at the end of. You said it was at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I think it's been a while.
I remember seeing something like that where he's in like this chamber or this sarcophagus or whatever thing.
Yeah, so I think he'll be introduced then. I don't know for sure, because again, I think introducing that character, I mean, it'll be great for comic fans, but again, I'm thinking about the general audience, and that might be too much, because what I do like about this movie is that it's very, I don't want to say streamlined, but I guess that's the only word I can think of right now.
Well, it's more approachable. Where, it's more...
Approachable, yeah.
It's not as low level, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think, I guess not to stray too far from, like, what I thought of the movie, just to mention briefly, I think as far as the cosmic aspect and what they may do after this movie, again, I talk about this with my coworker a lot. I think it depends on if the acquisition of like Fox by Disney, if that is completed by next year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think this is just me, but my thinking is, depending on if that is completed, since they'll be bringing, you know, Fantastic Four back into the Marvel fold, I think that will initiate bringing a wider cosmic, storyline or presence into the whole, like, the general Marvel MCU.
Get a proper Galactus in there, finally.
Right, yeah, and I think they'll do that through the Fantastic Four, because I think doing it with this, it's, again, I think it'll be more of a shoehorn plot line than having it be more of an organic thing that's fed naturally into the rest of the universe. In between this Avengers and next year's Avengers, you have the Ant-Man movie coming out in July, and then you have the Captain Marvel movie coming out early next year, right before next year's Avengers. So
And after credits, it showed the Marvel's Captain Marvel. Let's not be confused with Shazam.
I think they showed her the
symbol was there.
I think because of legal issues, I don't think you have to worry about the confusing anymore unless you're talking to old school comic fans, because I think...
Yeah, I know.
It may well have been because of Captain Marvel. I'm sure people know about that.
It doesn't matter at this point. I'm just being a smart aleck. It matters to me, cool, okay? Yeah, I'm a big Shazam fan, so I don't give... Okay, let's be honest, okay? Let's refer... If it's a he or she, it doesn't matter. Quasar. Let's just call him Quasar... And then we're good, right? Because it's the same character, isn't it?
Not really. No, I think they're separate characters.
Oh, okay. One was in Star Comics, the other was not. So.
Yeah, I mean they have similar power sets, but from what I've seen, like the Captain Marvel they're using for the movie is Carol Danvers.
Also, so they're going with the lady version. Okay.
Yeah. So
Which I think the Marvel versus Capcom, it's the lady version, right?
I've never played that, so I'm not sure.
We could do a whole separate episode on that friggin' thing, because I will just make a brief aside about that game, okay? That is one of those games that has great potential, but it's a pay-to-play kind of thing almost, because you got to dump a bunch of money in to unlock characters. So, buyer beware if you decide to play that. So, that's my take on that. But anyway, there's a lot of things that happened in Thor Ragnarok that I am behind on. So, I will definitely, next weekend, I will be watching that movie.
You know, I will say, as far as Thor Ragnarok, the actual movie itself, I don't think is detriment to watching Infinity War. But I will say, like...
I don't know, I felt pretty vulnerable, you know?
There are certain beats that, it will explain why, like, especially with Thor, why he is in a certain condition, you know, that he is.
But also Hulk, because he never changes into the Hulk. The Hulk doesn't want to be the Hulk. Isn't that connected to Thor Ragnarok?
It is, but it's not like super connected. I think the way they handled Hulk in this movie, I don't think you need to necessarily see. I mean, just to fill in.
Right, because to build on that point you're making is that if you watch the opening scenes of the movie, he is Hulk, but then he's so traumatized mentally that he can't... He's like Bruce Banner is like a shell of a man, and he's just like... Because when he shows up to meet up with everyone else, he's like just moping, and he's just like... He's traumatized, like... Thanos is coming. He's gonna be here. It doesn't matter who you're talking to and who you're not. We have to band together. And he's totally freaked out, you know. And it's totally messed with him.
So that's a good point. I saw it more as like a psychological.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Conflict, because
you're
supposed to be one of the most powerful mortals, and at least on Earth, maybe in the universe too. And then you have this dude that basically handled you, like completely manhandled you.
Yeah.
And it's like, why should I bother coming out if I'm going to get if I'm going to be beat up so easily again?
Which is kind of stupid, because it's like, Hulk, he has almost unlimited power. I mean, when you think about it, because it's limited by his rage. So the more upset he gets, the more powerful he gets. And I mean, he was able to pick up Mjolnir. You know, he did, didn't he, in the first Avengers movie? He actually picked it up off the ground a little bit.
No, he didn't.
Or was that just in the comic books he did that?
Maybe in the comics, but in the first Avengers he didn't.
He tried. That's right. He tried to. Because they're on the hangar.
He was launched by Helicarrier, Mjolnir, but he didn't really pick him up.
Right.
So. But,
That was pretty cool.
You still need to watch Thor Ragnarok. It's still a good movie.
Don't get me wrong. I plan on it. I mean, I'm not going to skip that. It's funny because my wife and I made a list of the ones we didn't have, and we just ordered them all, went through and bought all the ones we didn't have, and you know, fill in the gaps, you know, and then I'm going to watch them all and get caught up. And in fact, I had, we've got kind of a home theater set up at ours, like a real theater with like a projector, and we can watch like movies on an 80-inch screen. And it's really neat because I run it non-HD so that it's like you're at the old school movies. And I have, I mean, it sounds like you're in a movie theater. It has reverb and everything. I run it through a Marshall amplifier and acoustic amp, and it's really loud. You can have subwoofers and everything and, you know, reverb. And it's the cat's meow. I'm not going to lie to you. And it beats any, and it was like, we watched Iron Man. I'd let my son watch Iron Man, and he fell asleep halfway through it because he was tired. Because he's like, "Dad, you said we were going to watch it on the projector and stuff, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, fine. I'm going to get this out, and, you know, you're going to fall asleep halfway through it." "No, I'll be good. I'll be fine." Yeah, I was like, "Hey, Book, check this out." And he's like, "Nothing, no response." He's out. It's funny, I had this one part, we watched episode 6, Star Wars episode 6, and he had fallen asleep resting his chin on the back of our couch because I flipped the couch around. So when we have movies on the wall, he's able to just, like, you know, kind of just rest on the couch like that. He fell asleep with his arms hanging over the back of the couch. I got pictures of it. It's hilarious, and it's awesome. Funny, man. Yeah, but he always wants to watch. He goes, "Which one has Jabba the Hutt? I want to see the one with Jabba the Hutt." I go, "Well, technically he's in 4 and 6, so I'm able to trick him sometimes so we can watch episode 4 once in a while, and not have to watch Jedi all the time, you know." But
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I definitely have my work cut out for me. I haven't seen Ant-Man. I haven't seen Ragnarok. I have not seen... What else have I not seen? No, that's about it. That's not too bad. Yeah, those are the only ones I'm missing that I haven't seen yet. So, what my brother-in-law did is he went online and put all the movies he had, the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies he had on, and put them in order. More of a historical, chronological order of the movies as opposed to when they were released in theaters. And so the only real big difference was he took Captain America, the first Avenger. Obviously, he put that first because that happens back during World War II time frame. And then you go from there. And I was like, "Hey, that's pretty cool." That's pretty much the only real difference you got to make, I think. I mean, yeah, so that's pretty cool. I want to actually rewatch those in that order. I like having the 4K versions. I'm spoiled at this point.
Yeah, Mr. I do like fancy pants here.
Fancy pants. Well, and half the time you can go and you can get the 4K for like $25. Like some of these movies, you know, you can get a pretty good deal. And I'm not going to plug who I bought them from anymore. I'm not going to do any more free plugs. You want me to plug you? You're going to pay me. You know. And so it's really funny because like Thor Ragnarok has like 50 different versions of the movie, like, and I bought like, it says the version I have is like the Marvel Universe edition, you know, and it's got the black 4K box, and then this is like some kind of weird Parliament Funkadelic like ultimate something edition, and I'm like, what the frig? So I'm like, I'm not gonna buy 50 copies of a movie I'll probably watch 3 times in my life, if that. But a movie I am really stoked about, this is a quick sidebar, I bought the special, it's like the, I guess, it's not really the 30th anniversary of The Burbs, but it's a Tom Hanks movie, The Burbs. It's a, what's the term they use? They cleaned it up. They cleaned it up and remastered it and put it up.
Digital remaster?
Yeah, kind of. They use a different term, okay. And I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember what the exact term was. I'm not too familiar with it, but it's not really remastered. It's like, I have to go and check it out, get it out of my inventory and check it out. But so those are definitely movies I'll watch like all the time because that's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's hard to say. I don't think we're going to get like another Hulk movie. He's kind of turned into more of kind of like he's an accessory character to these movies. And for crying out loud, Ant-Man wasn't even in this Avengers movie. You know, Hawkeye's pretty much done. And I thought it was, I will say, I do have a small gripe about the story where Black Widow talks about they enacted some kind of clause because it's they don't want to be involved because it's too hard on their families or something. And I didn't catch what she said, but I thought that was kind of weak. And they're like, oh, they're sitting this one out or something.
Yeah, I thought that was a cheap excuse. But yeah. I did read that since it might have been from one of the Russo brothers, but since has his own solo movie coming out in July or June, July, whenever, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly what month, I think June or in the summer, but he was explaining how, you know, the first Ant-Man movie was kind of established as like a, you know, comedy based, you know, mostly comedy movie. It didn't make sense to have him in this movie, which is super dark and heavy as far as like adult themes go. And then,
yeah,
2 months later, or a few months later, you see him in this happy comedic movie. So
sure,
that in that sense, it didn't make sense. So, but you're right. The excuse they used to write them off in this movie was kind of cheap.
What do you think? I could see that he doesn't really fit in the course of events at this point right now. How did you? What was your take on the people disappearing? Because if you stay after the credits, there's even more of it going on. And when I saw Nick Fury back on there, Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury, I was like, this is fantastic. And then he started to fade away. Do you think that these people can all be brought back as a result of the Time Stone or the Reality Stone?
If you read the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries, I say yes, because I had building up to the movie, I did a lot of, not so much research, but more fact checking as far as like the Infinity Stones go, and in the comic or the comic and the description I found was that any like when you're whoever is using the Soul Stone, if you kill people or basically take their soul, it gets inhabited in within the Soul Stone. So and if I can remember correctly, it's been a while since I read the miniseries. Once after Thanos, long after he killed half the universe, and you know, and then he tried fighting against the celestial beings, and then I think it was Nebula that took his glove, and then he realizes that she was more of a threat with the Infinity Gauntlet than he ever was.
Right.
And once they defeated her and Adam Warlock got the gauntlet, I think. Again, it's been a long time since I read it, so
right.
I apologize if I'm not accurate with the specifics. But I think once they finally defeated Nebula and got the stones, the heroes got the stones back, they were able to revive most, if not all, the people that Thanos killed initially, because they were all inhabited within the Soul Stone. So based on that, and also based on the immediate scene after Thanos snapped his fingers, showing a younger Gamora, that leads me to believe that at least from the point that he had the Soul Stone, from then to the end of the movie, all those people would be, I think they'll be able to at least be brought back at some point. But I also think it's, with the way this movie went, and just the general feel of like how all the movies have gone so far, like, when something major happens, there's usually some sort of like cost or major consequence that sticks with those characters, you know, for however long they'll be in the MCU. So I think there'll be some major costs in order to bring some of those people, or at least try to reverse what he did with the, you know, with killing the people off. So, but as far as like, I guess I'll give my initial reactions when I was watching that scene or the end part of the movie. When I saw it last week, I was hoping that the finger snapping would happen, because that scene was literally ripped from the comic,
right?
And you know, and then you know, like also. Remembering Gamora teased, like, mentioned, oh, he can, if he has all the stones, he can kill half the universe with a snap of his fingers. Yeah. And then even Thanos mentioned it too, I think.
Sure, right.
So hearing these people, hearing them talking about it, at first I was thinking, they can't do it. And then when he actually did it, I was like, oh my goodness, they actually did it. And from then on, I had this grin I could not remove from my mouth, my face, because it was just something that I never imagined seeing, like, in some sort of like motion based, you know, entertainment medium, let alone a movie. And the fact that they did it the way they did it in this movie, I just, it was one of those moments that, like, as a comic fan, a comic geek, is it just brought this grin that I cannot remove from my face for, like, the remainder of the movie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It even happened on my second viewing today. Like, even knowing what was going to happen, it's just knowing that they accomplished that and they executed it so well, as far as I'm concerned, that I had this huge grin. So I guess to answer your question, I was happy with how they executed it, because yeah, it just, I've really liked I guess, like, when you initially watch it, that it was a, very gut punch type of moment, seeing all these heroes you didn't expect to die. Like, I was surprised when they killed off Black Panther, because this was like a few months removed from his own solo movie that was fantastic. It's like, and
Yeah.
they're actually offing him, and then
Well,
Spider-Man
that's
2 and
why I
all the
don't
other
think
guys.
I don't see, and that's why I don't think it's final. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No,
I
not at
don't know, for
all.
not from a business standpoint. I mean, you've got, look how well received that Black Panther movie was. I see all these different movies as part of a whole, and you're laughing at me.
Oh,
I'm
that's
trying
all
to say, not
right,
like a, it's part of a big cog in the, it's a cog in the wheel that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, okay? And so it was real. I thought it was really neat how, like, Bucky came back, and he had the, you still laughing at me? Are you still?
No, I was
Yeah, sure.
trying to clear my throat.
Yeah.
Now I'm laughing.
No, it was cool to see Bucky reunited with Captain America, and he's actually talking, and he's not, like, under some kind of mind control. It was cool. It was like, I really liked the Wakanda battle scene. I thought that was fantastic. You know, it did hearken memories of Episode One when there's a battle on Naboo, where they're on those grassland plains and they have those shields. It was kind of funny, but you know, people actually tried to book tickets to Wakanda. They wanted to go visit. I'm like, hello, people. It's a movie. It's not real. Did you
China is like
you know
trying to
that?
book a vacation. It's so stupid. It's like trying to book a vacation to Zamunda.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on, people, man.
Yeah, it's like, come on, you got to separate reality from fantasy. Okay, don't get carried away. And my brother-in-law was telling me, he was talking about, like, I guess, like, people were emotionally wounded by watching the movie. It's like, it's a movie. It's just a movie. Get a life. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a little too OD for me.
yeah,
But
come on. Get real with yourself. To quote Paul Orndorff.
but
And,
I will say, I don't think I've said wow as much as I did during this
oh
movie,
no,
like, especially
yeah, I totally
after.
agree. I was laughing out of, like, amazement and awesomeness that, number one, I never ever thought that we would have Thanos in a major motion picture, especially one that's been this lucrative and this high profile, that's been sold out for the last week. You know, I mean, I could tell you that when we went and watched this movie, that theater was packed still. It's nuts. And because we're gonna go last weekend, everything was sold out. So I just, they did such a great job. Because, I mean, with any movie, you're gonna have time constraints. But the one thing that's different about this movie that separates it from maybe efforts from other franchises like DC and stuff is that they have all the money in the world to make these movies, Marvel does. And they have the endless coffers of Disney. And that's why they're able to make movies on this level, because money is no object. I mean, you can have, like, Transformers movies coming out, nobody cares. You know? And it's like, I was told that the last Transformers movie was horrible, and I didn't even know that. I guess I forgot they were doing a number five, you know? And
Oh my
it's like,
goodness, really?
they just pale in comparison to what's going on with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It, quite frankly, you know, if they wanted to really salvage, like, the Transformers and the G.I. Joe franchises, why don't you do, I'm sidebarring here, why don't you do like a Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie like they did in the comic books in the 80s?
You know, do something like that. Why don't you do something new? Do you remember when they had that crossover in the 80s? They had like...
I don't think I might have read it, but I do remember it.
Same here. My brother had at least couple issues of that. And it was pretty neat. Because, I mean, think about it. In the 80s, they were the two biggest toy lines besides Masters of the Universe. I mean, but in Star Wars, of course. But I'm really happy with the job they did on Avengers. I think that I did not walk away having any major, you know, bouts of anger over anyone, you know, them killing someone off too early or whatever, because I'm like, well, it's an open set of possibilities we have here, because you have these stones, you know, and if it turns out that, you know, I mean, Tony Stark bites it in the next movie, I understand that, because Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to be doing these the rest of his life. You know.
Yeah. Then again, is nice getting paid almost $50 million per movie too. So
right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It comes down to a personal choice. And who do you think's gonna survive the second movie?
Well, before I get to that, I think you mentioned something about I guess you're kind of talking loosely about how. What made this movie successful. And I wanted to mention too, I think not so much, not only this movie, but most of the MCU movies that have come out, you can tell a lot of care has been taken to plot out all this stuff. When these movies are going to come out, when, why, where they take place as far as storyline goes. And it shows, because most of the movies, most or all the movies, depending on who you talk to, they have been fairly successful, and that I'm sure they've been super careful as far as how they plot the movies and their release and stuff. And
yeah,
it shows, because that care has also been reflected in the movies and how they've been done as well.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, some of the movies have hiccuped up more than others, and some have been more successful in their execution more than others, but what I like about this movie is it's a culmination again of 10 years worth of Marvel movie buildup, and
yeah,
the payoff was just so fantastic to me. I had so many geek out moments that,
right,
man, I don't think I've ever had that in a movie, and I don't think I'll ever have that in a comic movie after this. Because it was just so many, and that's a positive for me. So to answer your question for next movie, I'm sure it's safe to say that a majority of the deaths are going to be reversed. So assuming most of those deaths, assuming that all the deaths from Gamora on, all that's reversed, and who's to say if Loki and Heimdall were brought back as well, who's to say they're even going to be surviving the next year's Avengers movies? So I think I'm still sticking to my theory from last episode. I still think Iron Man and Captain America may bite it in the next movie. Because I don't know if you noticed, most of the surviving heroes were the majority of these founding members of the first Avengers movie.
Right, right.
So I'm pretty sure the focus will be more on them, and I'm hoping because of that they'll also bring Hawkeye to some degree. But I'm still sticking to Iron Man and Captain America being killed off in the next one. I would say, I think Black Widow, she'll still survive, because
yeah,
even though she is human, she's still, I still going along with the mindset that she's been brought up her entire life to be a killing machine.
Oh yeah, she's way and, too efficient, yeah.
Yeah, so you have that, and also, you know, she's also been trained in the art of espionage as well, so even if she's so overwhelmed with whoever's left over in the next movie, she could always just go into survivor mode and just survive just based on whatever espionage technique she has. And also there's talks of a Black Widow movie being made too. So I think that'd make some
pretty good, I think that would be really good. Cause, Her fight scenes are just amazing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And well, she in she is so willing to do a lot of the scenes herself. That's what makes it so good, is that she goes through the trouble of working out, learning the moves, instead of having a stunt double do everything. She gets in there and actually gets has been kind of schooled in hand-to-hand combat to a degree where it looks great. I mean, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I think that's what's appealing to a lot of people as well. Like, you have this mortal, or, well, more mortal than the other heroes, of course, but yeah. Still, like, she...
It brings some grounding to the whole thing. She doesn't have any superpowers, but she's quick on her feet. She knows she's really intelligent, and she has like the espionage thing down, you know. And she brings a lot to the table. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I also think all the Guardians, they'll be brought back and they'll survive next movie too, because it's too popular of a franchise to not have them come back. And also, again, I don't know if people keep up with like the going ons behind the scenes or whatever, but Chris Pratt kind of spoiled, or maybe it's like a red herring, I don't know, but I think he mentioned something in social media recently that maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, I heard he got his hand slapped. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's kind of obvious anyway, you know, if you think about it, but yeah, I think the Guardians, they'll be safe. Black Panther, of course, and Spider-Man, of course.
I think they're going to keep War Machine in it.
I think so.
I think he's got a lot going. I think he's gonna probably pass the torch to him. The Civil War, they kind of split. They went their separate ways, and he was the one of the guys from the other faction. So,
I'll go with that. And I guess also I'll stick with those. I still believe that Cap and Iron Man, they'll be casualties out of all this.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them continue with those roles, even if it's in like a supporting actor role. But I'll stick to that. I think those would be a big casualties for next movie.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. I agree with what you're saying, and I think it's going to go in a more cosmic direction, and cosmic on a accessible Guardians of the Galaxy kind of way. And so I think that they could probably get away with having Adam Warlock, right? They could introduce you've got the Celestials, and then you have the, it's like, who would the, like the Living Tribunal, the Beyonder, those kind of guys. Who would you consider those guys? What category are they?
Yeah, I think I've always seen them as like cosmic beings, because they, I don't think you can really classify them as a certain type of group. Like, cause, I mean, like you said, you have the Eternals,
right? Okay,
the Celestials, so and you have the Eternals as well.
Right, that was the other one. The other term was the Eternals. Yeah, so you have like, what is it? There's like Epoch, and there's. Man, I'm throwing out some obscure stuff, and people are like, "What the heck are you talking about?" It just, Jody he'll probably laugh when he hears this episode if he listens to it. And yeah, they could do a whole Adam Warlock thing where he splits and there's Magnus and all that. But you know, in the comic books, he ends up getting hold of the Infinity Gauntlet. You know, so they could do something with that where, like, he had the intent to do good with it, but then it starts like it changes his character, and they have to. He ends up. All those people we talked about, the Living Tribunal, all those guys, the Beyonder and all them, they Eternity or whoever it is, they in betweener, they all like confront him and like, you need to give this thing up, and you know, it's changing you, and it's, you know what I mean? So they could probably do something, I guess, like that. I think it's probably going to be a more accessible Guardians of the Galaxy type thing, you know, because it would be kind of over people's heads, because man, with this stuff, you can go so deep with it. I mean, I think when you were talking about Fox being bought out by Disney, and then they can do, like, you know, Fantastic Four and all that, that's probably what they're going to do, I would say. And kind of, the baton will be passed to this new set of characters,
And then from there on, I think it's going to be a cash cow. And I think that, you know, outside of these movies, there's not really a whole lot going on in movies anymore. Superhero movies, while sure frig isn't Star Wars, at least from a fan perspective, you know, and I'm not going to spend another episode on that crap again, because they have literally taken Star Wars and flushed it down the toilet. And this Han Solo movie, nobody wants to watch it. And so I guess my thing is, well, that's okay. Let me backtrack. I'm sure there's people that want to see it. I will go watch it, but I'm not excited about it because they have screwed with the last few films. Okay. So anyway, I think that there's still a lot of life left in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think that what you predicted is, I agree. I think it's going to go that direction. So
now I was wondering, we can still talk about all the awesome stuff about the movie. I certainly know I can, but I know you mentioned it before, and I think it was the same with me. I didn't really find too many negatives. So if you had to choose negatives of the movie, what would they be?
That's a hard one. Well, okay, very minor quibbles, and I say minor. First of all, Doctor Strange was referred to as a wizard. He is not a wizard. He is a sorcerer. He is a sorcerer supreme. Okay? That did irritate me. Let me take that back. He is a sorcerer supreme. Okay? Now, I know he said you're confronting the master of whatever arts or whatever. Fine. He is a sorcerer supreme. There is a difference between sorcerers and wizards. Okay? And people can flog me all they want. The other quibble would be... Oh, boy. The fact that I mentioned this earlier, that when they mentioned Ant-Man and Clint Barton, I thought that was weak. I think other than that, I didn't like the fact that they killed off Loki like they did. I thought that he would have brought a lot to the table. So it's not really a quibble, but I'm disappointed that from a story standpoint because I'm a big Loki fan, and I think Tom Hiddleston's awesome. So as Loki, but again, he probably just didn't want to do it anymore. They could bring him back. I don't know. You're like you said, Heimdall and all those guys. Who knows? Maybe it's not off the table. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to say those are probably my quibbles. What about you?
Okay. I think my quibbles are more at a personal level, not so much the movie.
Okay.
Like, you know, weakness of the movie. Although I have read reviews where when they do try to pick a negative of a movie, a lot of them seem to talk about how certain characters didn't have as much screen time as others.
Sure.
And I think it's, I don't want to say unfair, but I think it should be expected with the scale of this movie. You have so many characters in this movie.
Like, right.
To have every character have equal time or equal screen time.
Not possible.
It'll probably be like a 10-hour movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that, but yeah, it'd be too gigantic of a movie to make sense to make.
Mandatory bathroom breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I will say, though, I can see why people say that. It's not my own personal quibble, but I think the way they handled that, to me at least, was even though certain characters didn't have as much screen time as others, obviously, I think the time that they did have on screen, it was meaningful enough where it wasn't, to me at least, it didn't seem like it was a throwaway scene. Like, every character had some sort of, like, they had some sort of meaning and when they had screen time, so they weren't like chewing the fat or anything like that, or they were just, you know, just there for sake of being in the background. And then Loki, the way how you mentioned the way he was killed early on, I think again, this is my own personal opinion or just personal thing, with the way he was built up as a villain in all the Marvel movies, especially being like, well, what seemed at the time the main villain from the first Avengers
movie.
Right,
and then he relented and say, no, wait, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a gut punch of a death scene, but I wish there was I wish it was a little bit more impactful, just based on how much screen time he's had in the previous movies and his importance as a character. I wish his scene was more impactful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not diminishing how it was done, but I just wish it was a little bit more impactful.
Right.
Because in even like with Thor's reaction, I mean, granted, like his mouth was covered when he was like in his initial reaction to his death, but afterwards, it's kind of like, yeah, he's dead. He might come back. Blah 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 blah. You know, I just wish it. I don't expect him to be like moping emo the entire movie. But I just wish there.
Nice.
Yeah, I just wish there was. They just pushed his importance just a tiny bit more. But again, right. It's the way they did it was fine considering the amount of time they had for everybody else.
Sure. I think overall they did it. I mean, obviously the Hulk didn't have a huge presence in this movie. Banner spent most of the time tired and looking very old and withered inside a Hulkbuster suit. It was very funny though, and it was funny. I found myself kind of laughing because the scene where, like, you know, Vision had died or whoever, these people started getting killed off. You saw the scene where, like, just the chest piece was open and you just saw Bruce looking on with the suit there. It's just funny to me just because he's kind of just Hulk is in a Hulkbuster armor suit, which I thought was kind of funny, even though it wasn't intended to be funny.
You know, one thing I didn't notice more the second time around is what happened to Scarlet Witch's Eastern European accent?
And who's that guy? Who's the guy that was the Doctor Strange's buddy there? Wang or whatever his name was?
Oh, Wong?
Wong, there you go. He had a mustache. In the last scene he was in, he had a mustache. Whereas, like, the scene before that, he had no mustache. So, I was looking at my... Because remember when he's in that portal and he goes to leave, like, the movie, his last scene in the movie. I go, when did he get a mustache? So, I think that there was there's a little bit of a movie flub there. I thought that was funny.
One thing I did notice, this wasn't something I was looking out for. I noticed it in the first time I watched it, and I definitely noticed it even more the second time around. I don't know if you've seen the movie Snatch. It was a Guy Ritchie directed movie, where it's basically like a UK heist movie or whatever. But,
yeah, I know the movie, I just never watched it. It's from like 2000, 2001, okay. Something like that, yeah.
Well, there was a specific scene. I don't have to explain. I don't know if you want me to explain that, but there was a specific scene in Infinity War that I don't know if it was intentional or not. After seeing it today, I think it was done intentionally, but I think it was a direct reference to Snatch.
Okay.
I got a big kick out of that. So I'll explain real quick. In the beginning of Snatch, you have these guys dressed up as Orthodox Jewish guys, and they're just talking about, you know, whatever it is they're talking about. So as the opening credits are going, you see these guys in these outfits talking, and they're going through like all these different security cameras because they're going to this diamond manufacturing company in the UK somewhere. And then eventually you find out that these guys are actually robbers dressed up in Orthodox Jewish outfits, and they're robbing this diamond place. And Benicio del Toro's character, he's the leader of this group robbing this place. And he goes to, I'm assuming, like, the manager of this diamond place, and he asks him, like, where's the stone? And the guy doesn't answer. And then he got, like, pulls out a gun and puts it to his face. He goes, where is the stone? You know, kind of playful, but
oh, sure.
Still menacing and serious as well. So in Infinity War, the scene where they're out of nowhere, and Thanos had just gotten the Reality Stone, and he has the Collector pinned down with his foot. The way Thanos says "Where's the stone?" sounded exactly to me, at least, exactly how it was said in Snatch, and I had a big kick out of that when I heard that. So I don't know if anybody picked it up or picked up on that. I don't know. Again, I don't know if it was intentional. I could believe it was, but yeah. I enjoyed that scene. So is there a particular scene that you liked the most in the movie? Or is there like a standout scene, fight, whatever?
I would probably have to say when Thor blasted down in the middle of Wakanda and obliterated half the people, and he had the Thor outfit back on. I got goosebumps when I saw that. He was back looking like Thor again.
And oh man, that was fantastic.
When he took when he took the Stormbringer and like disintegrated that pillar that was trying to escape that ship.
That
blew my mind. I was just like, I laughed. I was just like, I got goosebumps. It was just amazing. They're like lightning bolts are all over the place. It just what it did was it took and it jumped it up to a whole new level. Between him and like when Scarlet Witch released all that power, she put that huge hex on those giant blade like vehicles that were, and she totally like sent them backwards. It was like that was also a big scene right there. So I'd have to say probably those two. Also when Thor was opening up that pathway for that sun to blast through and start the forge, when he grabbed those handles and like all that solar energy, all that heat was going through him like that, I thought that was pretty awesome. So I'd have to say those. Cool. I'd have to say those are the big ones for me. But the Thor one with Stormbringer was just amazing.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. Like the way he just maxed out his power set, just the way he did in the movie. That's, you know how whenever, like, I'm sure everybody's done this, that who's read comics, you, in your mind, you have a certain way of, like, seeing how, like, your favorite characters, how they would just, like, max out on their abilities, and we just have this idea of it. I always had my idea of how I would imagine Thor being when, if you know, when he would just, like, unleash his full potential.
Yeah, right.
This just outdid that. Like, I can never imagine something so epic like that. It was so good.
Yeah, it was the only other time I felt that kind of I got goosebumps like that was like, remember when like in the animated series where Superman was fighting Darkseid and he's like, this is one of those rare opportunities where I can cut loose and show you how powerful I really am. And he hits Darkseid so hard that he goes end over end through, like, three skyscrapers. And there's, like, shockwaves when he's punching him.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, I still get goosebumps to this day. And he's like, I get tired of living in a world made out of cardboard. Always afraid of who I'm going, of hurting someone, or just, you know, or destroying something. And he just, it was just awesome. Yeah, I got goosebumps right now just talking about that. And
that's awesome. Yeah, I'm there with you with the Thor scene. Besides that, I would say the two favorite scenes of mine are the way Thanos manhandled the Hulk in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
man, just the way like you would figure, okay, Hulk is in it. He's gonna have to take the upper hand from Thanos. And it seemed like he does, but then when Thanos starts fighting back, man, he just did it. He just fought so fluidly with like such precise punches, and that was great. But I would say after the Thor scene, the way Thanos brought down that moon on Titan.
Oh yeah,
man. I thought that was so fantastic.
He reached up in the sky and created like, yeah, I know that was freaking amazing.
Oh man, and it wasn't so much like major like a specific scene, but I really liked how whenever you had some of the heroes using their energy projections on him, I really liked how he would absorb it and then like use it against them.
Yeah.
Like, he did that with Scarlet Witch, did that with Doctor Strange, Iron Man.
Or, like, and remember when they were, like, all of them were fighting him at once on Titan? And, like, Spider-Man was shooting, like, webs in his eyes. And, like, they were all attacking him at once. And he was just, like, you know, he was, they almost got the gauntlet off his hand. And and it was, like, so close to pulling it off. And it was just, like, that was another big moment when they're all fighting him. And they got him down, like, one knee. And they're just totally pulling out all the stops to, like, get the glove off this guy. And, you know, it's just, like, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked the his battle with Doctor Strange. Like, that was awesome, man.
Yeah, again, he stole the movie. I mean, Doctor Strange, even when he didn't have the Eye of Agamotto around his neck, It was he was doing all he was just using the spells and the knowledge that he had acquired as Sorcerer Supreme, you know. And yeah, I agree with you. And you saw him like doing all these like crazy spells, and even when he was going up in New York City there, he was like, it's a simple spell, but it's one that's difficult to break or whatever. And he's going up against, you know, this guy, and the guy's, I didn't like that guy as a character. He's very arrogant and he was stupid.
Oh, you mean the Ebony Maw?
Whatever the guy was, he looked like Nickel McBrain from Iron Maiden. It's that guy. You know, and just stringy hair and stuff. And I was glad when he got sucked out of that spaceship out into space. I was like, good riddance, you're stupid. I've always felt that way about certain characters, even when I was a kid. Like, if there was a villain or something on a cartoon or a movie, I was, like, vindicated to see them, like, meet their demise because they're just idiots.
Just real quick, what did you think of the ending? I asked that because, I mean, I'll give my impression on that, but when I took my mom, after when the credits start rolling, she goes, I didn't like that ending. And I had to explain to her why the ending unfolded the way it did, and even after that, she goes, I understand that, but I still didn't like the ending. So, yeah, what did you think of the ending? Like,
it was like with Spider-Man and Tony Stark?
No, after that.
After credits, or?
No, right before
the credits. Oh, where he's watching the sunrise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have an opinion. I'm still processing that. I mean, he kind of talked about how he looked forward to that moment where after he did what he was going to do, because he's a sick psychopath, he could watch the sunrise because there's like peace or something. I felt that scene was a bit premature because he's not out of the woods yet. He thinks he is because he has the Infinity Gauntlet, but obviously if that were the case, we wouldn't be doing another movie. So I felt that maybe, I guess from a certain point of view, that scene is premature. So that's my opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was smiling, which I thought was stupid because he obviously had a lot of grief to get there because he sacrificed Gamora. And I mean, how can he be smiling about that, you know? But I'm sure maybe it's because in the end he is a psychopath and he doesn't care. So
well, I took that as more as a smile of like relief because if you consider all the villains that have showed up, and even like whether it's Marvel or DC movies, he is so far the only villain that has been successful in what he wanted to do.
Right.
And again, going back to like, you know, us mentioning how he wasn't a one note villain. You know, he was very very multi layered villain stuff. And like what I liked about him was you didn't like his methods, but you understood why he was doing them.
Sure.
And then seeing him doing, first of all, complete, like, accomplishing what he wanted to do, and then him, you know, seemingly just, like, you know, like, just retiring, watching the sunset, and just that relief that he had in his face. I took that more as that than just him smiling, like, ha-ha, I beat everybody.
No, that you're absolutely right. I mean, it's I didn't really pick up on that because I was kind of like, I know there's gonna be a second movie, so I didn't really put a lot of stock into it. Mm-hmm. I guess you're absolutely right. I mean, but he's gonna have to give the glove up, so live it up now, buddy, because you got a whole other movie you got to get through. So I felt the scene was kind of premature for whatever reason. He was feeling relief, like he just let out some gas or something. Yeah, it was a little strange, but it's nothing that I would consider a big problem. Real quickly, what I want to do is before I go, I had intended at the front end of this episode to thank everybody who has liked our Facebook page or Twitter page, the people who follow us. Big shout out to the people that have bought some t-shirts. We have some Case in Point t-shirts on tpublic.com. Very, very humbled, very honored to those. Paul McGinty, Ian Sharpley, you guys are great. It means the world to me that you guys would, you know, you're established podcasters, and to go out there and show your support of a relatively smaller podcast, it means a lot. So thank you so much. And everyone who has listened to an episode, who follows the show, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means so much because this is something that, you know, I wanted to get involved and have, you know, Jody along, and now I have Ponch with me here. This is a very humble attempt to contribute to the podcasting world. So any followers I have on Twitter, thank you so much. Facebook, thank you so much. We're going to keep doing these, and we're going to keep improving the show, and I will be getting a website going. I will be making appearances on some other podcasts, so stay tuned for that. Kind of the podcast community for this show is growing as I make more connections on Twitter, get involved in discussions on some of the Twitter feeds that I'm involved in with Masters of the Universe, the movie coming up. All my friends on the Twitter feed, thank you so much. It's, you know, from a personal standpoint, I've had a lot of change in my life lately, and the fact that I have this podcast and the people that listen to the show and support this podcast, it means a lot. So I really appreciate it, and I don't say that lightly, and I do not take it for granted. Ponch, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Well, I think we got some good movies coming up. You know, we'll do more reviews, and I think that I think Marvel's got some good stuff in store for us as fans.
So. Yeah, it's a good time to be alive as a comic fan.
Yeah, right now, it's like so exactly. Definitely. Yeah, it's like it's like revel in it. You know what I mean? It's like a golden age for movies right now for comic fans. Hey, that's my opinion. So
I'm there with you.
All right, folks, that's just gonna about do it, and we'll catch you next time.